You'd think I'd figure out how this thing would work after a while.
All right, so Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. So last week we finally, after what seems like a year trying to get to it, got to the life of Joseph. And I'm pretty excited about it. It's been good. So go to Genesis chapter 39. And you might be thinking, okay, well, we did 37 last week, so what happened to chapter 38? At some point, we're going to circle back and get chapter 38. But really, Joseph's life starts in Genesis chapter 37. And it goes from there to the end of the book, save chapter 38. Chapter 38's in there, and it's really just kind of like, why in the world is that in there? For one, why is the story even in there? I mean, what benefit could come from that? And then also, why not put it like before the thing of Joseph? And really, the reasoning for that would be it really fits chronologically that way, but it has nothing to do with what we're looking at right now. So we'll come back and hit it. I'm sure by then God will give me something, some way that I can twist this thing and make it good. But right now I'm really focused on Joseph and those things. So there's like a main outline that I want to go off of when we look at the life of Joseph, right? And it kind of goes like this. Last week we saw where he started. The life of Joseph is, I'm trying to think of a good way to put this, very less than desirable at times. It seems like no matter what this guy does, I want to call him a kid, but at this point he's growing up pretty quickly. No matter what this guy does, it seems like it like blows up in his face. You know, things in your life will happen where you're going along and things are great, and then all of a sudden it's like, I did nothing to cause this horrible thing that I'm going through, right? There's nothing that I did to make this happen, right? There's nothing that Joseph did to be put in the position that he was in his family, right? And so the first point of your outline was he was with his parents, right? And so basically he was like the chosen one of his parents. Well, it's not like he went to dad and he was like, hey, just so you know, I want to be your favorite. To my other 11 brothers, screw them, right? He didn't do that. He was just, it is what it is, right? And so he didn't put himself in that position. Now you could say that he maybe liked it, and maybe he did, I don't know. But that was like the first unfavorable position that he put in. He was with his parents, right? And then the other one we looked at last week was he found himself in the pit, right? And we spent a lot of time looking at the pit. And I think it's just really cool. You can go back and listen to it. But right, there was two things it says about the pit. It says the pit was empty and the pit had no water. And you're like, well, great. Well, I'm either going to die because there's nobody to talk to, or I'm going to die because there's no water, right? Because that's how we look at things. It's like we always look at things so negatively. And even the people that are like, yeah, I'm glass half full, right? Until it's empty, then it's like, well, now I'm glass half, I got nothing. So, right? It's not so much about being an optimist. It's just about finding out what God's going to be able to do in and through the circumstance, right? And so you can go back and listen to that. It's really good. We spent a lot of time looking at the pit because I don't know where you guys are at in life. I know a lot about you guys in general. I spend a lot of time with you guys separately outside of class at times. But at the end of the day, I don't know the ins and outs of where you're at in your walk with Christ because you can hide that kind of stuff. So I don't know if you're in a pit. I don't know if you're like flourishing or if things are great. At the end of the day, that's between you and God. But that's where we were at. And so I left here last week, just total side note, but I left here thinking, that's where we were at, right? We're talking about a pit. You know, I'm like, I made the best out of what I could. You know, I've heard it kind of taught similar to that-ish. And I kind of put my own spin on things like I normally do. And I'm like, I don't know if that really did anything for anybody. And I heard a couple personal testimonies through the grapevine of it really hit home with a couple people. So I'm like, that just proves that I don't really know when somebody's struggling. You know, but all you can do is take it and roll with it, right? So he was with his parents, he was in the pit, right? And then how did he get out of the pit? At the very end of class last week we talked about how he got out of that pit. Anybody? How did he get out? Huh? Yeah. The people traveling down the road, before his brothers could get back to get him, they pulled him out so they can sell him into slavery. And at the very end of chapter 37, It says in chapter 37, verse 36, it says, "And the Midianites sold him unto Egypt, unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, and captain of the guard." So, I'll take the pit as opposed, at least I didn't have to serve anybody in the pit, right? I'll take the pit. It's like he goes from one thing to another, and things are just not great for this cat, right? It doesn't matter what he does, they're not that great. And so there's three questions I'm going to ask you. And I asked you last week, and I will continue to ask you, because this is kind of the premise of where I think we need to get when we get to the life of Joseph. Because there's really good things to pull from. Some of the things that God showed me just in chapter 39 are really good. But until you get to the end of this, and you see how God circles it around, and you see that God had a plan the whole time, and we just didn't know it. Then it's like, oh, the light comes on. Well, you know what? At the end of the day, God's probably got a plan for you. If I was guessing, God's probably got a plan for you. If you're saved today and you're breathing still, he's got something he plans on doing. Right? And so, he's got a plan. And maybe he's not going to reveal it all to you right now. You know, if he would have told Joseph at the beginning of the day that, hey, this is what I'm going to do in and through you. Oh, by the way, here's some things that you're going to have to go through to get there. He'd have been like, you know what? Forget it. I'm out. But instead, he just one by one, day by day by day. Real quick, time out because you weren't here. The baby with Holly, how big is it?
Jason has no idea.
I'm like, it's a girl and they're all good.
6 pounds, 11 ounces. Everybody is doing great. She will be discharged tomorrow because she had a C-section, so they can be for 3 days.
I already said all that. Yeah. It's a girl, everything's all good. Okay, praise the Lord. Excuse me. Okay, so here's your questions. If you were here last week, if not, you can get them this week. If not, you can get them every week until we get done with the life of Joseph, right? Here's the first question. Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Because if you... I'm not even going to say that. Because if you don't, never mind. Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Here's the second one. Do you believe that God can use you in any circumstance? Do you believe that God can use you in any circumstance? Now, you may be like, well, most circumstances he can. Right? But what about, do you believe that God can use you in any circumstance? Coffee's really hot. The third one, are you willing to be used by God to accomplish his mission? I cannot talk. Are you willing to be used by God to accomplish his mission? Three questions. Pretty simple, pretty basic. You know, and for the most part, we're all like, yes, yes, yes. Yeah, that's the right church answer. Okay. You know, are you living it then? Right? Because last week we went and taught the little lambs, right? And it doesn't matter what the story is when you teach the little lambs, the answer is Jesus, God, right? So that's the same thing with you. The answer is yes, yes. Okay, you can say what you want. Are you living it? Right? Are you living it? Right? And so Genesis chapter 39, here we're gonna jump right into it, right? So here's what I got for you, though. If you believe these three questions we just talked about, right? If you really believe those, then I'm going to give you three things today, and this isn't like an outline, I'm just going to give you three things today you need to do to be put in the best spot for God to use you, right? If you really believe those things, if you really believe that God's got a plan for you, that he can use you in any circumstance, and that you're ready to be used wherever you're at, then I'm going to give you three things that you need to do to put yourself in the best position for that to happen, right? The best position. Okay, let's get rolling, because that's enough of all that. So Genesis chapter 39. I promise we'll get back to 38 at some point, but it's got nothing to do with Joseph, and that's where I'm at. So, 39 verse 1, it says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian." So this dude's pretty important, right? Anybody that's got that many titles, it's like, you got too much stuff going on, dude, right? You got too much stuff going on. "Captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither." Right? So he's sold into slavery. "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." Okay, so he's sold into it. Here he is, he's with Potiphar. A lot of things could be going through this cat's mind, like, I quit. I'm done with life. Right? I don't want to do today. Right? The same way I feel on Monday morning when the alarm's going off, right? I just don't want to do today, right? Sometimes you just have to. Verse 3. And his master, talking about Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he had, or all that he did to prosper his hand. Now, quick side note. When you're going through, let's just call it what it is, the crap of life. When you're going through the, this just really sucks. When you're going through the that, how are you living? Right? How you living? That's why I bring that, just didn't even come to me until I just said it. You know, if you haven't seen the inspirational speech of, what's it called? Lessons from a Third Grade Dropout. You gotta look that up, right? How you living? So, just side note, write it down. I promise it's worth the 5 minutes it'll take you to do it. It's totally worth it for everybody in here. How you living? So anyway, when you're going through the this just is not cool time of life, how you living? Do people see that the Lord is with you? Do people see that God is making the things of your hands prosper? Or are you like, I'm done. This is stupid. I quit. I don't know. Just total side note. Just asking. I'm sure you're all like right on point, so we're just going to glaze over that. And Joseph found grace, verse 4, in his sight. And he served him. And he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. It didn't take long, at least from what it sounds like, for him to see that God's with this guy. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. So not only are things at home going great, the crops are growing awesome. I don't know what has happened other than, well, we got this kid and now things are awesome. So we're just going to keep doing what we're doing, right? Sometimes at work, it's like, I can't explain why it's working, but we're going to roll with it until it breaks. That's what you got to do sometimes. Verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Now that's saying something, right? I don't know how long it took for him to get to this status, but this guy is like sixth title Potiphar, right? He's like captain of the guard of the who, I don't know who he is, but, right? He's like, when you remember in high school, I don't, it's been a long time, but like when they're announcing people for homecoming or something, like, and everybody's got like three different things in front of their name, and there's just one person that it takes like 5 minutes to read all the things they're involved in. Right? That's this cat. Right? And so, I don't know how long it took, but it says that basically Potiphar doesn't even know how much he's got because he's entrusted it all to Joseph. He's just like, you know what? As long as I got food to eat at the end of the day, I know you're taking care of things better than I could. So, you know what? You do you. Right? And you just roll with it. So I don't know what it took, but it didn't take long for him to see that God's blessing this guy and things are going great, right? Things are going great. So that's kind of what's going on. Don't blank on me. So here's the first thing that you, here's the of the first things that you need to do to be in the best spot for God to use you, right? Here's the first thing. You need to be a servant. You need to be a servant. And some people hear that and they're like, no thanks. No, I'm not really into the whole serving people kind of thing. Okay. Maybe you should have checked yourself at the door with the whole Christianity thing, because that's kind of what the whole religion is based on. But, I don't know. Your bad circumstances do not give you the right to forget what you know. Your bad circumstances, and you might be like, well, my life's great, Jason. Well, praise the Lord. Live in Christianity for a minute and we'll see what happens, right? Your bad circumstances don't give you the right to forget what you know, right? And you're like, well, what do you know? Well, I don't know a lot. Well, you ought to know enough to know that you're supposed to be a servant. What's it say about Joseph? It says that in verse 4, it says, Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him. It didn't say that he found grace in his sight and he was like, okay, so I'm just going to hang out in the guest house, right? And, you know, I'll feed the chickens or whatever I got to do, but I'm just going to hang. And you find yourself a new slave, right? And as long as I'm here, God's going to bless you. But no, he says he found grace in his sight and he served him. You want to find grace in God's eyes? Get busy doing something for the Lord. Not because you have to. Not because your salvation is based upon it. I mean, come on, guys. We're way past that, right? But because we're called unto good works. Your bad circumstances don't give you the right to forget what you know. Ephesians 6, 5-8 says, servants, Be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Let's just stop there for a second. So you're to be obedient to your masters, okay, because I have to. No, like your master with Christ. Are you serving him like that? I don't know. Verse 6 is, not with eye service as men pleasers, so not just when, you know, the guy's around, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Man, this thing is packed full of like, bam, 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 like Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. Right? As men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. See, I made sure I got clear to verse 8, because there's a lot of times that when you're talking about being a servant, we leave that out, because we're just like, yeah, you need to be a servant, right? You need to serve as unto Christ. Well, here's why. Because whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. That's a promise. That's a promise. Colossians 3, 22-24 says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Right? You serve the Lord Christ. We are to be servants. John 12:26. I really like this verse. It says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Right? Because here's what happens. We're like, yeah, I get what you're saying about the servant thing. Well, praise the Lord, I'm not a servant, so I don't have to worry about all that, right? Well, it says, John says, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. Well, guess what? Christ is the one who says that. So it says if you're going to follow him, which I think you all are claiming to do, because that's kind of the whole part of getting saved, is you're going to follow him, where I am, there shall also my servant be. So are you a servant? If any man serve him, will my Father honor. If you're serving him, God's going to honor you. That's just the way, it's what it is, guys. We got to be servants. If anybody had the right to claim his circumstances were too bad, I think Joseph's one-upped you like 5 times already. Right? And we're only like a few years into his life. It would have been Joseph, but instead he took on the role of a servant, and God blessed him for it. So last week, side note real quick, I told you that I was going to go about this in different ways, and I was going to give you the outline, and I was also going to give you types of Christ as we went, and I've already realized that that's going to take forever, right? And so that's like your own side study. If you want to do it, the life of Joseph is like a million, probably not that many, but there's a whole bunch of types of Christ, right? This one kind of is glaring. He took on the role of a servant. Huh, I don't know anybody else that did that, do you? I'm telling you, this guy is a type of Christ. So if you want to do that study, I've got some other reasons for not going on with that too, but you know, we'll see. But anyway, nothing to do with anything, right? So okay, that's the first thing. You need to be a servant. You want to be in the best position for God to use you, for God to give you the plan, all those things, you know, that I asked. The first thing, you need to be a servant. Here's the next one. I'll give it to you in a minute. Let's read on. Verse 7. Things are going really good, right? He's got this Potiphar guy like wrapped around his finger. And I'm sure he's serving his tail off too, but things are going great. In verse 7, things get weird in verse 7, right? So then it came to pass after these things. So after he was like made chief of everything, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." Well, obviously she wasn't really all that interested in him until he was like chief of everything. I don't know what this woman's after, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Lie with me. Well, I'm guessing she's just not wanting somebody to snuggle with, but that's just me. Verse 8. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house." He's like, he doesn't even know how much stuff he's got. And he hath committed all that he had into my hand. And verse 9 says, "There is none greater in this house than I." He's like, what are you trying to do here? "Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee." You're his wife. He said, "I can't have you." "Because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness?" Now stop right there for a second. It could just period could be right there, right? And we would all be like, yeah, why are you asking me to do this? You know, Joseph said, why are you asking me to, you're going to cause me to lose everything, right? If you didn't know, I've come from like a jacked up past, you know, and God's blessed it, and I'm just going to live with it, right? I'll be a servant the rest of my life for your husband Potiphar, right? So I'm just not going to do this, right? Mostly because I'm sure at the time, this is before the Mosaic Law, but I'm sure at this time period, adultery was probably like a deathly offense, right? Death penalty offense, probably. I don't want to die, right? But that's not why. That's not why he says, I don't want to do this. That's not why he says, this is really cool. I don't think I've ever really processed this. Because he had every reason to just be like, no, I don't want to lose everything I got. Here's why he says. He says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know what he's mostly concerned about? Something getting between his relationship with him and God. He knows if he does that, he's in sin. How often in our lives, before I even read any farther, before I even get to the point that I want to make with this point, how often in your life are we so caught up in just doing the right thing because we don't want the circumstances that are going to come with it, more so than because it's going to get between us and God? I don't know. Once again, I'm sure you guys got this figured out, so I'm going to keep moving. Verse 10, and it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that right there tells you, this isn't a one-time deal, right? So anyway, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. He's saying, I'm done. I gotta go. This is not working out, right? He's gone. Verse 13, and it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and when was fled forth, that she called the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew to mock us, talking about her husband. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord cometh home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us, you know, this is your fault, husband, right? What? The Hebrew servant which thou brought into us came unto me to mock me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant unto me, that his wrath was kindled. So at the end of the day, who's he going to believe? His wife or his servant? Well, he probably ought to look how God's blessing him, but you know how this goes, right? Here's the second thing. And you guys already know where I'm going with this. But here's the second thing. You want to be in the position for God to use you. Here's the second thing. You need to be blameless. You need to be blameless. Right? And that's just all there is to it. And this rubs people the wrong way. And you guys know me. I'm not really afraid to step on people's feelings a little bit. Because you know what? At the end of the day, the Word of God is what the Word of God is. Your good intentions do not give you the right to do whatever you please. Your good intentions do not give you the right to do whatever you please. And I don't know how many times I've heard it from how many different people. I don't plan on doing anything wrong. God knows my heart. Okay. That doesn't mean you're blameless. God knows my heart, right? Here's what I've seen over and over and over again. Person says, I know what I'm doing is not against God, so who cares what other people think? Who cares what other people think? Right? How'd that work out for Joseph? Since this is where we're at. How'd that work out for Joseph? Right? He knew, I'm not doing anything with this woman. How'd that work out for him? Well, you're going to find out how it worked out for him. It's not so great, right? You know, it's not like he got to Potiphar's house and his life just all of a sudden got better. You know, this is a continuing theme in his life. If you think that, I don't mean to be... Well, listen. If you think your holier-than-thou, upright Christian lifestyle is going to hold up when somebody accuses you of something in today's society, then you're setting yourself up for failure. If you think that I go to church, I'm a Christian, oh, Okay. Doesn't matter. What that girl just accused you of, everybody believes. That's just the way it is. What you just got accused of, whatever, you know, just look around at the way today, especially, things are, right? And I'm not throwing shade on anything that could or could not have, I don't know, right? Bad things happen. But what I'm saying is, you gotta be blameless. Because if you're not, something like this could happen. If you're not, something like this could happen. You know what the Bible says about it? Because, I mean, I could tell you what I got to say for the rest of the time, I promise. I could go on about this for a long time. Philippians 2:15 says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Well, I think it's even gotten worse since Paul wrote this, but I'm just saying. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. If you're going to shine as lights in the world, you got to be blameless. That's what it says. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I get out of that verse is, we're not just talking about physical things here, right? We're not just talking about, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend hanging out with nobody around to see what's going on, right? Because, you know, that is what it is. I'm not going to get into it because, you know what? You're not being blameless. That's all there is to it. But it says that your body, soul, and spirit are preserved blameless. Right? Even though that you can say, well, you know what, at the end of the day, I can prove that nothing's going on. Okay, your soul and spirit are not blameless. They're not. 2 Peter 3:14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. I couldn't even list all the verses. I just picked a few of them that I liked. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, because you might be like, you know what? I'm done hearing the blameless thing. I know that what I'm doing is right. You know what 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says? Very simple verse. You should memorize this one. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I'm not doing anything wrong. Okay, well, what you're doing looks wrong. And that right there is against what God's word says. Abstain from all appearance of evil. In the world we live in today, you as a person, now I don't want you to take this wrong. I don't want you to be like, you got your tinfoil hat on, Jason, and you know, that's not what I'm saying, right? You're one false accusation away from never having the same view in people's eyes that you do now. No matter man or woman, doesn't matter. And the more accolades or the more titles or the more whatever you get, it just puts a bigger target on your back. It just does, right? You're one false accusation away. And I'm not even saying I don't know what you're doing, because I'm just assuming that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, right? Because if you're not, let's back up a few steps. But you're one false accusation away from never being the same in people's eyes. Someone could accuse me today of something that I shouldn't be doing. And whether it's completely ridiculous, all of a sudden there's a lot of red flags associated with my name, you know? Is he supposed to be teaching? Is he supposed to be doing this? Is he supposed to be doing that, right? That's why you gotta be blameless, guys. You might be like, well, nobody cares what I'm just saying, right? You may say, I don't care what people think. I don't care what people think, so this is how I roll. Well, you must be like the only person in the world that doesn't care what people think, because today we've got like more social media than we've ever had that's designed for one purpose, to tell people what we think. So don't tell me that you don't care what people think, right? Give me a break. We all do somewhat. So, you know, I don't even do the social media thing, right? And for the most part, I got a face thing, a Facebook, right? But we all care somewhat. You know, you might say I don't care what people think. You still want your name to have something behind it. When people think of your name, when people think of, you know, Jackson McGuire, when people think of Pat Lee, when people think of, you know, any of your names, right? You want to be thought of Christian, child of God, son of the King, right? Servant, things like that. You don't want people to think anything negative, right? Even if it's not true, you don't want to, well, this guy was accused of, right? You might say, well, I don't care what people think. You do too. You might not care about what they think, you know, so much, but you care about your name. You want your name to mean something. And if you don't, then you've got a problem, because you should want your name to mean son of the king, right? Christian, you should want those things. So don't tell me you don't care what people think. Because I don't buy it. Not for a minute. I don't buy it. I'm not saying you need to walk in fear of being the next one accused, right? I don't want you to walk out of here. I'm telling you, I don't want you to think that. But what I'm saying is you need to blame me. Don't put yourself in a position, whether you're completely pure about it or not, don't put yourself in a position where someone else could say, hey, guess what's going on right there? Well, if you cannot prove what is going on there, then there's some validity to it, right? And you might be like, well, how far do you go with that? I don't know, how far do you go with that, right? Do you abstain from being alone with your boyfriend or girlfriend because somebody could accuse you of something, right? Or do you take it to the next step further, right? I'm to the point, guys, and you might think I'm crazy, but I just, this one point, like this is one of my, there's different like tiers of doctrine in the Bible, right? There's certain things that people can bring up and I'm like, yeah, whatever. We could argue about it all day long, but I'm not gonna waste my breath, whatever. But then there's a few things that like, I will stand on this hill and die, right? I'm a soldier and this is the hill that I'm willing to stand and die on. There's a few of those, right? The gospel, right? And I could go through several of them, right? This is one of them for me. Because you know what? I won't be the guy that gets caught in this position. I will not. I go to a doctor's office. Well, for one, I don't ever go to the doctor, right? Because that's, I just don't, right? I ain't got time for that. Nobody got time for that, right?
But tell your dad and you wish you were.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I go to the doctor here just recently. I had to get a. I just said I don't go to the doctor, and here recently I had to go. I had to get like a health wellness thing for my insurance at work, and it's a female nurse practitioner. We go in and I'm like, hey, can you leave the door open? Why? I'd just rather if you would. You know what? Because, and who knows? I don't know. I don't want to be alone in a small room with a woman. Because she could walk out of there completely unvalidated, or however you would say that word. I don't know. You know what I mean? And say, he did something. And how do I, what can I do? I know I didn't. Well, okay, now at this point, it's my word against hers. In today's society, how does that go for men? I'm just throwing that out there. And same thing for a woman, right? It's no different. So what I'm saying is, I go to the extreme on this. I just do. Because I don't want my name dragged through the mud. Not because I'm anything special. I want to represent Christ. And that's just how I am, right? You want to be in the best spot for God to use you in these circumstances, to reveal His plan to you, to be blameless. Okay, you might read this story and be like, well, why does this even have to be in here, right? They could have come up with anything. They could have spent two verses and said, you know, Joseph stole from his master and then he got thrown into prison, right? Because that's where we're going. You know, he gets thrown in prison. Instead, there's this in here. Take it. Use it, right? There's validity to it. There's validity to it. You got to stay blameless, right? And I'm not trying to get all up in anybody. I could spend a lot of time here. You know what I'm saying. If I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you. If I'm not, you should have listened. So, verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. At least he went like where the king's prisoners were. I don't want to know where like the common man's prisoners were. I think they just got killed. But a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Still serving his butt off, guys. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. He gets thrown in prison. And I don't care. I've never been to prison. I don't really plan on ever going to prison. I'll just be completely honest with you guys. I don't plan on going there. But I'm just guessing. I don't know. But even like the best case scenario in prison is still prison. You're still in, right? So you might say, well, he's at least got it good. He's in prison. There is no he's got it good. Give me a break, right? People want to take this and they're like, no, this. I would have rather stayed at Potiphar's house. I'm sure things were good there. But no, it's like one thing after another after another. This cat, everything that happens to him, one thing after another after another. Here's the third thing you need to do to be in the best position for God to allow those three questions that I'm going to keep asking you to do. you need to stay faithful. You need to stay faithful. You might be like, well, it doesn't say anywhere in those verses you just read that he's faithful. It doesn't say the word faithful, but man, he's living it. He's living it. That's how we need to be. You know, I don't want, at the end of the day, my obituary or whatever that thing's called, or my gravestone or whatever, I don't want it to be like, hey, he was faithful. I want people that knew me to know that my lifestyle was that way. I don't need it written down. Right? You should be the same way. Right? You don't have to write down that he's faithful. He's faithful. Obviously, he did something to gain very quickly the liking of the keeper of the prison. Right? I don't know. Your bad luck in life does not give you the right to throw in the towel in the Christian walk. Excuse me, sorry. Your bad luck in life, you might be like, well, I don't know. No, we've all got bad luck at times, right? There's times we're flying on cloud 9, right? I guess it's because we can't ever reach cloud 10. I don't know why I always stopped at cloud 9. Totally different subject for a different day, right? But there's sometimes that things are going great. There's other times it's like, no matter what you touch, this thing blows up in your face, right? That's like at work, right? People ask me, you know, how is it at work? Yeah, it's not bad. We have our good days and bad weeks, right? That's just how it is. That's just how it is, right? But you know what? You're going to have bad luck, right? Your bad luck in life does not give you the right to throw in the towel on your Christian walk. It doesn't. Because that's what people want to do. They're like, well, my circumstances got bad. I'm out. Do what? We've all seen it. Someone is on fire for the Lord, serving their tail off, and something happens in their life that's less, let's just call it less than desirable. Whatever the circumstance may be. They got their feelings hurt, something happened in their life. I don't know. It could be any side of a lot of things. Before you know it, they've given up on Christ, and they're doing things their own way, right? We've all seen it. If you've been around for very long, you've seen it. That it happens. People are all about serving God when things are good in their life. But as soon as the adversary comes, as soon as any kind of adversity comes, then they're out. They're like, I can do this better on my own, right? Somewhere, I'll just tell you what happened there. Somewhere along this young person's on fire serving, somewhere along the line, discipleship didn't take root. Because you know what? In discipleship, it's not all about roses and rainbows, right? I'll just be completely honest with you. Just about every week that Philip and Meredith come over, they say, I'm never coming back, right? And it has nothing to do with they don't like. Well, maybe it is they just don't like it. I don't know. And maybe they're just convicted and like, well, this is the people we were put with. So we got to go back, right? But it's just like the Word of God sometimes will convict you. Same thing with me. There's times I read the Bible and I'm like, why do I read this thing? All I do is feel like crap after I read it, right? I'm not doing nothing right. Somewhere discipleship didn't take root in those people's lives. Because that's where you find out that, you know what? It's not always great. But it is always awesome to be a child of God. Right? It's not always just awesome, right? But there's going to be things that stink. The ministry gets hard sometimes. The people at the church, I'm sorry, they're not always the greatest people in the world. They're my brothers and sisters, but you know what? Sometimes your brothers and sisters need smacked. I'm just saying, right? It just needs to happen sometimes. So that doesn't give you the right to bail. Discipleship teaches you that, you know what, there's going to be things like that happen. There's going to be things on the outside. There's going to be things in life. There's going to be things on the inside. It's coming at you from all angles, but you know what? Serving Christ is better. Serving Christ is better. I've been there. I've done that. I bought the t-shirt. I read the book, and I don't even read books. And I can tell you, serving Christ is better. It just is. Think about Job for a minute, right? Think about Job for a minute. You might be like, well, I don't know the story of Job. Maybe you, like, I know the story of Job better than you do. Job, he lost. So the devil rolls up to God and he's like, hey, I can't, you're protecting this guy too much. So God's like, I tell you what, I'll take my hand of protection off for a minute. He'll still be faithful. The devil's like, no, he won't. You don't know what I got for him. God's like, okay, right? Are you ready for God to let the devil say, okay, have free reign? They're gonna be faithful no matter what. He lost his house. He lost everything he owned. He loses all his kids. he just as well lost his wife, because I think that would have been easier. Instead, she's like, curse God and die. Well, that's like, I mean this in the greatest way in the world. I would rather you die than to tell me, curse God and die when I'm going through a bad situation. Right? I would, because that's messed up. He gets covered in these boils, yeah, whatever he's got going on with the skin. It's just horrible, right? Everything about this, I mean, it's bad stuff. Yeah, that's even worse. He gets this really awesome advice from his three best friends, right? That, hey, if you just get out of sin, God would let this go away, right? Awesome advice, dude. You know, sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all, right? Sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all. You know what? What's he do through all of that? Through, man, I'm not kidding. One thing like that happens to me and I'm like, man, this sucks. After one thing after another, what's he do? He stays faithful. He stays faithful. And we think we got it bad. If you truly believe the three main questions that I'm going to ask you every week when it comes to the life of Joseph, and you're going to get tired of hearing it, and you're going to be like, yeah, I agreed that the answer to those questions is yes, like the first day you asked me. So you'll find out why later on. If you really believe the three main questions we're asking, do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Do you believe that God could use you in any circumstance? And are you willing to be used by God to accomplish His mission? If you really believe those things, then the three things that we looked at today, they're going to put you in the best position you can be for God to allow those things to happen. Right? Joseph, this guy, it doesn't matter what he does and how good he is at it, he like blows up in his face. He's faithful. He's a servant. No matter what happens, he's a servant. He's just going about it. He could be like, you know what? I'm done. I didn't do nothing to be a slave. I ain't serving you. Instead, he's a servant. God's with him. Right? Then this guy's wife, she's a loon. Hey, sleep with me, or lie with me, or whatever you want to call it. No. So then she turns the table. He gets thrown in prison. At this point, he's really ready. I'm done. No, he's just faithful. He's just serving. He's just knowing that, you know what, I believe that God's got a plan for my life. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's in prison forever. I believe God's got a plan for my life. I believe God can use me anywhere. Here I am in prison. You know, where are you at? Are you in prison? Are you sold into slavery right now? You feel like no matter what you do, you're just a slave to the man, right? Is that what you are? Don't you laugh. Okay. Are you being a servant in it? You know? Are you being faithful in it? There's so much you can pull out of here, guys. I mean, there's so much. A chapter a week is a lot, but where you at? How you living? How you living? Tell them you gotta look at it. How you living?
All right. Let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father God, I love you, Lord. I thank you for today. I thank you for the Pass Point class, Lord. It's just awesome to be a part of what you're doing here. Lord, we just thank you for things going well with baby Chloe and Holly and Brady, Lord. We just pray that we would just be welcoming as the Pass Point class. We would help them out any way we can, Lord. We do pray that you would just use us this week as lights in a dark world, Lord. We just pray that you'd just be with Brian as he preaches today, that our lives would be conformed to you. I do pray that as we go through life, Lord, as we're just trying to figure it out, Lord, we would just take some things from Joseph and roll with it. Lord, just learn how to live our lives like he does. So, Lord, I pray you just use us this week. Just bless us in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. I'll see you next week.
Cleo.
Okay. Cleo, sorry.